You are listening to Believe in the Blacklist on the Believe Podcast Network. Welcome back in to Believe in the Blacklist on the Believe Podcast Network. Stacy Blackwood here, and tonight I'm joined by a good friend of mine and a lifelong fan of the Blacklist, Hampton Sipper. We're going to kind of dive into Season 8 and the way it ended and talk a little bit about Megan Boone's exit, John Bokenkamp's exit, and what we can expect in Season 9. All right, Hampton, to start things off, let's just talk about that season finale. Obviously the bombshell there at the end with Megan or Liz being shot. We all knew that she was leaving the show, but we were not really under the impression that she was going to be killed. So just your initial thoughts there, as Liz Keen has been removed from the Blacklist.
Her name has been crossed through. Right. So I don't know about you, Stacy, but I knew she was leaving the show, but I thought like she was going to get kind of a happy ending and go be with Katarina somewhere is what I thought. So when she got shot, I think you and I were texting, you said you hollered, and I think I hollered. Then I kept saying, no way, no way. I liked the decision because I think it's a bold decision to do that. I know you and I talked about we don't like how she died and she never really got the answer as to who Red is. And right. Like as fans of the show, we kind of felt cheated. But I think for the development of Red's character, he's going to have to live with that guilt of the secret that ultimately got her killed, but that he ultimately never told her. And I think that's going to be really interesting kind of going forward. To see how he kind of handles that.
Yeah, you brought up the development of Red's character is really where Season 9, I think, is going to really be fun to watch. But like you said, I was really in shock. I thought that what they would do is Red would kind of send her off into hiding and because the way the article read, you know, that Deadline reported was that she was no longer going to be a series regular.
Yeah.
So it made it sound like there was a possibility that she could return. And I guess she could possibly return as kind of a old flashbacks or something like that. Mm-hmm. Or kind of the way Mr. Kaplan did here in Season 8, kind of there as a, you know, somebody on your shoulder, you know, somebody to lean on. But for her to be killed, that was really shocking. And I'm with you. It's a bold move by the writers and of course the creator of the show, John Bokenkamp, has announced that he is leaving the Blacklist as well. Mm-hmm. And it's really a strange kind of moment here between the show and the fans, because if you get on social media, there's about 50% of the fans are just shredding and tearing apart Bokenkamp and the writers of this show. And then the other 50% are kind of like, hey, you know what? Let's just kind of see how this unfolds in Season 9. And I'm more in the camp that I still want to see the end game. And I know the end game is not going to be quite what it was without Liz, but there's still Red's end game. And you know, a few episodes back in Season 8, he mentioned that to Ivan Stepanov in the plane. He said, you know, this is my end game and I'm not going to let anybody ruin that. So I think there's still something for Red's point of view as a character. And it's obviously not going to be the same without Liz. And she's going to be missed on the show. You know, she kind of really grew up as an actress, Megan did, on this show, because she was still pretty green in the pile. And, you know, that first season in 2013, and she's really turned into a great actress. And that moment there at the end, as she got shot and as she kind of just pretty much faded away in Red's arms. And, you know, we can kind of talk there about that montage that was played there at the end. We do need to touch on that. Mm-hmm. The montage there as Liz is, you know, fading away and Red's holding her. I think a lot of fans kind of misinterpreted that as that only being Liz's kind of montage or her memories or her flashbacks. I think it was a mixture between Red's and Liz's kind of memories and flashbacks of all they've been through, you know, over nearly the past decade. So, and I think people are confusing that. And I think people are drawing the conclusion, well, Red has to be Katarina. And I'm still holding on to the fact that he is not Katarina and that he is somebody else. I don't know who he is. And truthfully, and I know I'm probably in the minority here, and I think I'm like this because of what Jane Spader character has said in the show before, is that who he is maybe is really not even that important.
Yeah.
I mean, what if that doesn't even matter? Mm-hmm. So I'm still kind of holding on to that because, you know, he said that, I believe it was at the beginning of season 6 when they had the Hans Kohler episode about the surgeon who changes people's identities. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he just pretty much said he prefers to keep his nips and tucks to himself. Like who he is really not that important to other people. It's really just kind of a secret that he wants to keep to himself. And maybe who he is not important. Just kind of what are your thoughts on the whole, the Red Arena theory and who Red might be?
Yeah, I hope it's not that. Because that would just be a little too... One, I think it would be kind of inconsistent with, I know on your Twitter, the scars from the fire that Red has, but I think Katarina didn't have or something.
Correct.
Along those lines. So I wouldn't like that aspect of it. And just, it would seem a little bit of a stretch that, like, I don't know. I just don't think that would be the best resolution for that arc. My mom, actually, I'll give her a little shout out. She had an interesting, theory about what, like, maybe like Katarina had a twin brother or something like that, was really, you know, really cared for, Liz or something. I don't know. You know, I don't know. I also like your theory about maybe his identity doesn't mean anything.
Yeah.
Maybe it did to Liz, but in retrospect for the show going forward, it doesn't mean anything. He hadn't been that person for 30 years. I mean, he is Raymond Reddington.
Right. Yeah.
So
right.
I'm with you on that. I actually wouldn't mind that because I think whatever they do is going to be a little bit of a disappointment. Especially, you know, talking about how the fans are kind of split one way or the other. I think almost not answering it would be kind of cool. I would like that.
You know, I've always thought the best way to end the show would be for Liz to get the answers, but not the audience.
Oh, okay. I like that too.
Like if she, obviously she's off the show now and
that went down the drain real quick.
Yeah. But even as you know, in the early stages of the show, I was thinking, I think it would be okay if Liz found out the truth of who Red really is, but the audience never did. And I thought that would kind of be a neat way to do things. But obviously that's gone now with Liz being killed there in the street. And of course, you know, wrestler now as he,
can we talk about that real quick?
Yes, please.
This man was bedridden for like a month and then he runs how many blocks to go and watch her die?
Yeah.
I mean, come on. And their relationship a little bit to me, and I think you've talked about it before, it just seemed forced. Like, I didn't buy it.
Yeah, I didn't really either. Yeah. I think they have great chemistry, but it's not chemistry as a couple.
Couple, yeah.
And,
totally agree.
It's, it seemed a little bit forced. I think the way it really is that Wrestler felt more of a, you know, romantically toward Liz than what Liz did to him, and that they kind of forced Liz into that, you know, into feeling that way for Wrestler. But, you know, it's this far into a show, the writing's going to start showing. I mean, because there's only so much you can do with these characters. And I think that's what makes this show so special is, of course, Jane Spader gets all the recognition as Reddington, because I mean, it's hard to think of many better TV characters than Raymond Reddington. I mean, in mm-hmm. history of television, he's up there with any other character. But you think about Harry Lennox as Cooper, how great of a character that is, and yeah. how he's kind of developed throughout the years. Of course, Aram, I don't even know if you know this or not, but he was kind of accidentally made a main cast member. His first episode was season one, episode three, Wu Jing. And he kind of made that comic relief there when they're sending Liz and Red down into that radio station thing with Wu Jing. And he kind of goes off script for a second with some witty lines and like, hey, we kind of like this guy. And so mm-hmm. they kept him on as a series regular from that moment. And he's had such an up and down kind of character throughout this series, mm-hmm. all the loss that he's suffered. This show is really a lot about loss. And I mean, you think about Wrestler, he had to watch Audrey die there in season one after just getting her back. And now he's had to watch Liz die. And mm-hmm. Of course, Aram had to lose Samar, and it's just
like Samar, man. Samar, I like Park, but Samar was a really good character.
Yeah, she was great. But I think she's a little underrated. She does a really good job. I mean, she's not given a lot, but what she's given, she does a really good job. And she's a badass too. I mean, I wouldn't want to scrap with her. She's
no, she might kill you. She might kill you. Sure, yeah.
So I think that's what makes this show special is all the great lead characters that they have there. The main cast, you know, Wrestler's mm-hmm. phenomenal. They did such a great job casting all these people, and it's so much fun to watch these characters develop. And now, you know, throughout this entire show, Liz has been the point of view of the audience, and now she's no longer there. So mm-hmm. going into season nine, that's what I'm looking forward to. How are they going? Is Red now going to be the point of view of the audience? Mm-hmm. How is that going to kind of manifest there in season nine? And, you know, just looking at the task force real quick, moving ahead, how do you think they play into things in season nine? Because, you know, Red's always says, you know, it doesn't work without Liz. Mm-hmm. And now she's not there. So how does that relationship work, you think, moving on?
I could kind of see them being a little bit splintered, mainly because of, you know, like Red breaking her out out of the box, like lifting the box out of their headquarters. And, you know, Panna Baker's kind of getting to the end of her rope with that relationship. And I think that they could potentially like change the way that, you know, the Red and FBI relationship works out. But I kind of hope, I know we're going to be dealing with like who's going to be running Townsend's operation now, and people are going to be coming for Red, but I kind of hope we get back a little bit to, you know, I enjoy the week by week weird,
yes.
eccentric, you know, criminals that we have to go track down. And I'm hoping we kind of get back to that, because I really enjoyed season eight. I think they did a great job with it. But I kind of wanted to return to those earlier seasons a little bit.
Yeah, you know, I've been doing the rewatch of season one and kind of recapping those on the podcast. And dude, that season one, it's unreal. And yeah, some of those blacklisters are just insane. Like the courier mm-hmm. who couldn't feel physical pain and hid evidence inside his body. Of course, the stewmaker is an all-time great. Mm-hmm. That was fantastic. And I'm with you. I wish they would get back to some of those very weird blacklisters. Mm-hmm. And I'm with you as far as I'm interested to see how Wrestler reacts to this moment, because, you know, he's always blamed Red for what Liz has done the past couple seasons. And now that she is dead and he had to watch her die, He might be over the edge now, and he might just want to take out Red. And so I'm interested to see how that dynamic works out. And speaking of Red, I meant to talk about this earlier. His sickness. I don't want to speculate on what it is, because what it is doesn't matter. He's obviously dying, and he's obviously kind of ready to go. He obviously was ready to go because he made the plan for Liz to kill him, to, you know, to make her look strong, and because he was dying already. And he just kind of seems like he wants it to be over with.
Mm-hmm.
And I wonder now how maybe that's going to be changed with the death of Liz, and you know, what his, you know, his kind of outlook on the rest of his life might be like.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I wonder if that, like, reinvigorates him to being kind of more, I mean, he's very much stone cold, but kind of like, you know, savage. I'm going to shoot first, ask questions later, Red. I don't know. I know this was earlier in the season, but the whole Anne arc, you know, like him falling in love with her and then her supposedly dying. I may be way off, but there's a little bit of me that still thinks she's alive somewhere.
I think it's possible.
You think it's possible? Because they never show her body like
right.
dead. You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah. And on this show, you never know. I mean, there's
true,
but there's a slim chance that she's still alive, but if I had to bet, I would bet that she is dead. But first of all, them Anne episodes were phenomenal. That was great. That was great television. I mean, mm-hmm. I could watch James Spader. I don't even watch romantic comedies, but he, I mean, that would be fantastic television.
Yeah. But, it would be.
You know, and we talked about the Red Arena theory and how we were hoping that's not the case, and how it doesn't seem to me, when I go back and watch the episodes, is there some signs? There's actually a lot of signs that it's possibly, you know, that he mm-hmm. is Katarina. But there's too many other questions that you brought up, the scars on the back. You know, and then you could get into the scientific part of it. I mean, this was supposedly in the early 90s.
Yeah.
And then not only that, but Katarina is a very thin woman. She's very petite. Red mm-hmm. is a broad shoulder man. I mean, that doesn't just happen, you know, through sex changes. So, I mean, it just seems a little too far-fetched in that aspect of it. And I hope that's not where they go with it. I'm not going to say I'll be done with the show if that happens, because James Spader. I love it too much. I got too much time invested in it. Like I've said before, this is the first show that I've ever watched from the pilot episode, you know, the night it aired. That's when I first started watching, and I've been hooked ever since. Uh-huh. Ever since he walked into the FBI and surrendered himself, I've been hooked on this show. But so I just can't throw it away that quick. But there's too many, you know. Earlier in this season, I don't know if it's little quick moments like this that I think people forget about. Mm-hmm. There's a moment where Red and Dembe are sitting in that restaurant, and Red has the line, "If I was her father, maybe I would understand her more." Well, I mm-hmm. mean, you would also understand her if you were her mother.
Her mother, yeah.
I mean, so, you know, he's had sayings, you know, in season one when he talks about he wants to sleep like he slept when he was a boy. There's just too many different avenues that they could go other than Red Arena. And I just hope that's not the case, because I think that they would be missing out on something better if they decided that Red was Katarina.
Mm-hmm. No, I'm with you. I wouldn't be done with the show, but my enthusiasm of the show would suffer. Yeah. Would suffer greatly. I know this was in the episode prior to the finale, so I guess the penultimate. What did you think about the reveal that the Katarina that we thought had appeared and that Red had shot was not actually Katarina at all. Because I didn't see that coming. I thought that was really, really clever and really interesting. Yeah.
They did a good job doing that. And you know, but see, it goes back to we need to listen to Red more often. He told Liz a couple different times, mm-hmm. she's not, that woman is not your mother.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, he never expanded on that, but he did say that a couple times. And, you know, Dembe would say, you know, it's not what it seems. And by the way, Dembe is a phenomenal character.
Love Dembe.
Dembe is the bomb. He is the bomb. But do you think Dembe knows the whole truth?
I do.
I think he does, too.
The one person who does.
Yeah. Let me ask you this. Going back to the episode before the season finale,
mm-hmm.
she obviously finds out. Really, we didn't find out anything new. We were just confirmed a lot of things that we believed were true, is really all that episode was. So really, the last two episodes, we really didn't get any type of answers. It was really just confirmation of things we were 99.99% sure of to begin with, aside from the Katarina and the
reveal.
What was her name? Tatiana Petrovov, I think was her real name.
Wow, impressive, yeah. Uh-huh.
So that's the only thing that was really confirmed that nobody was just real certain on. So to me, we really didn't get a whole lot of answers. It's just really confirming things that they have showed us in the past. Like going all the way back to season 6 and the Rosfiet episode when Dom is telling Liz the story about Katarina and Ilya Kozlov putting together the plan for the fake Reddington and all that stuff and going to the bank, and turns out that it was actually Ilya that went into the bank. And so we did get a little bit of confirmation there too. And of course that's kind of what everybody's thought the whole time. So they acted like we were going to get a bunch of answers there at the end of that season. And really it was just confirmation on things that we were already pretty certain of. So we really haven't learned anything new. We've learned a little bit about the number of people that were there the night of the fire, which I still believe is very important to maybe who Red is. Maybe he is somebody from that fire, because I believe he said that he was there that night. Did he say that? Okay.
Pretty sure.
Yeah. And also he said that he was in the photograph that Liz has of her and her mother.
Or was he in it or on the other side of the...
Well, he says...
He's the one taking it.
He said, I was there. Uh-huh. She asked, were you there? And he says, I was there. I mean, so...
Yeah.
It's leaving the door open for him either being Katarina or the person taking the picture.
Mm-hmm.
So, there's still tons of questions. Obviously, the biggest one, and I know I'm weird. I know I'm weird for not really... I do care who Red is. I want to know... But it's not something that I got to know. Like, I'm not like the rest of the fan base. I don't have to know who he is to be satisfied with the show, because I just enjoy watching Jane Spader be Raymond Reddington. That's what makes the show.
Exactly.
So knowing that his real name is John Smith, and he was a nobody, just a run-of-the-mill criminal maybe. I mean, who cares about that? That could be the answer. I mean, it could be. We don't know.
Yeah, I think if you explain it away too, like, for example, I know this is a little off, but one of the great things about, like, the original, like, Star Wars trilogy is you really didn't know who Darth Vader was. He was just he was a menacing villain who... kind of, you know, he showed up out of nowhere. You knew he was menacing, and you knew, kind of what he was set out to do. But when you get the prequels and then you turn him into a little kid, a little bratty kid, a little bratty teenager, like, some of the menace kind of wears off. And I think, like, if you reveal who Red is, you have that danger of, like, the mystique kind of wears off if the answer is not very disappointing or not very satisfying, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I agree. I think they could they could actually ruin the show by telling too much.
I agree. Yeah, totally.
So it's interesting to see how they play that out. I don't, you know, as far as looking ahead to season 9, what are you really expecting? We're going to close out with that. What are you expecting from season 9?
So, you know, kind of like I mentioned earlier, I want more of a, more kind of going back to early seasons where we have Red and the task force hunt down criminals, maybe even in an unconventional fashion than before, because they have to be a little more, I mean, they're already pretty cryptic and pretty secretive, but maybe with Panabaker kind of at their heels, it'll kind of be like that again. I know this might be unpopular a little bit, but like, I really enjoyed Liz. I really like Liz, but I don't,
me too.
I can't say I absolutely loved who she became. Like, and I get why she became that way. Like, I don't have a problem with that, but I have a little bit of an issue with, I don't know, I just don't buy her, like, you know, the character we've known for so long. I don't love, you know, her kind of this menacing and like a Red type. And also, this might be terrible too, I'm glad I don't have to see Agnes in another episode, hopefully.
Well, you know, that could be something they play into. Maybe she's the next Liz, you know, so for Red.
Please get another actress to do her. Bless her heart. I did better in my third and fourth grade VBS plays, I think, Stacey. She's just, you know, bless her heart. Hopefully she'll get, you know, develop her skills and become an Academy Award winner someday. But right now, that's just not it. So I hope, you know, back to, you know, early seasons, Red and the task force kind of hunt down criminals. And I want another good big bad, because I thought Neville Townsend was a really good, really good villain. He was eccentric. He was mad. The actor who played him did a phenomenal job. So that's kind of what I'm hoping for. What about you, Stacey? What you looking for in season 9?
Okay. Yeah. So I'm just looking forward to seeing the task force get, you know, how they interact with Red now with the events of Liz, you know, being killed. How does Wrestler react now that he's, you know, kind of in love with Liz? Of course, Aram is like just best friends with Liz. So it's, how does that work out? Cooper was like a father figure to Liz. So I'm just interested in seeing the dynamic between the task force and Red. And then I'm with you. I want to see some of them weird eccentric criminals and blacklisters like we had, you know, in the olden days of the Blacklist. So that's what I'm looking forward to. I wish we had Neville Townsend here in season 9 as well, because he's, to me, the best villain so far in the Blacklist. And he didn't have a number. That's weird. Mm-hmm. He was never assigned a number on the Blacklist. So
that's true.
Number two is still available.
Yeah. I've got one more thing I want.
All right.
I can't remember her name, but the older lady that's the mother of the guy.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
Died. What's her name?
Jelly Bean's mom. What is her?
Jelly Bean's mom. Yeah.
Glenn's mom. Oh, yeah.
10 episodes with her in it. She is phenomenal. I love her so much.
They picked the perfect person to play.
Absolutely.
Play Glenn's mom. That I cannot wait. I know she's going to be in it because she's too fun of a character. That scene with Red at the bingo hall.
Oh, wonderful.
Dude, wonderful. That was TV gold.
Mm-hmm. It really was.
All right. Hey, that's going to do it for our kind of recap of the way season 8 ended. We kind of looked ahead to season 9. I'm going to be back throughout the summer, you know, recapping some of the episodes from season 1. So make sure you're subscribed to the podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher. We are on all the major podcast platforms. Also, we have a YouTube channel, so make sure you subscribe to that. Hampton, I really appreciate you joining me. I hope you'll join me again. This was a lot of fun. It's easier to do a podcast when you can kind of go back and forth with somebody and not have to listen to yourself talk for a few minutes.
Yeah, man, I would love to come back on again. I absolutely appreciate the opportunity to talk about a show that I love and I know that you love, and kind of hypothesize and analyze Well, we just watched. So thank you again for the opportunity, and can't wait to do it again soon.
Well, yeah. Hey, let everybody know how they where they can follow you on Twitter so they can kind of keep up with you there.
Okay. You can follow me at BamaFan1815 on Twitter. I'm active on there. Hey, if you follow me or if I follow you back, I like about every tweet you put out there. I don't tweet a lot myself. But then, kind of when we get into, football season and all that, we'll start up our pod again and have some exciting things to announce for that in the future. So.
Yeah, well, that's great. Hampton, I really appreciate you joining me. Make sure you follow him. You can follow me at Blackwood89, and, of course, you can follow the podcast at Believe Blacklist. All right, everybody, we're going to head out now. Y'all have a great evening.